these are family, friends. It's just so good to be. Any amens out there, just put amen in the chat. Wherever you sit, just say amen, just to be. God has been so good to us. Don't forget our theme for this year, living epistles, that as we walk through life, we want to be used of the Lord, that we're walking Bibles for the Lord. And that's going to take us getting into our Bibles, reading. And if you're not connected with us with a reading plan, please go to ebcnc.com and get onto that reading plan. It's also on your app, so that we can grow more and more together. We welcome our first-time visitors, those that have come back over and over again. Tell somebody about what we're doing here. We're really trying to lift up the Word of God. If you're someone who doesn't know Christ, why wait another day? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. It says you will be saved. We encourage you. We want you to walk with the Lord. We've got so many things on our website at ebcnc.com. Just to encourage you, wherever you are, a baby Christian, a mature Christian, we have Monday manna, Tuesday noonday Bible studies, Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock, our virtual connection where we're going through the book of Luke. Also on our Thursdays, we have an in-person service where we're dealing with many things there. We're going through the Johns, and then after that, we're going to continue on into some other epistles, just learning of the Lord, line upon line, precept upon precept, and it's been a great journey. And that's at 6 o'clock on Thursdays in the sanctuary. Also, please continue to pray for this 8:45 in-person service that we have, 10:45 in-person service, and our 10 o'clock online, where we are reaching not just those who are connected to Ebenezer, but there's some that are outside of North Carolina, other places that are really being blessed as we, as said before, grow together. I want to thank you for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver, and we've held up that principle that we can purpose in our heart, and we can give not grudgingly or of necessity, but again, we can be cheerful about it. The Lord has been so good. When I think about egg prices going up, many of you are still eating eggs. Some of you ate 2-3 eggs this morning. The Lord has been good. But never forget, there are others that have been challenged, others that are struggling. So our giving is not just monetarily per se, but our giving is reaching out, encouraging, inviting others over, that we can grow together. Iron sharpens iron. And so I want you, please, just to listen to the voice of the Lord, that we can be on mission during this season and time. Those who have given, and tax season is here, and you need that tax statement. If you've given online, you have the ability to go in there and get your information from last year. If you've given in person, we want you to contact Elizabeth Page. She's our church secretary, one of our church secretaries, and she'll be able to get you that information printed out. Just call the church number or contact her directly. Church number is 336-292-8449. That's 336-292-8449. Well, I'm thinking about the Word, and I'm just ready to get in the Word, but we're going to have a scripture by Deacon Kelly, and then we're going to have a song. I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed by that. And we've got a special, how should I say it, a poet laureate today that's going to give us a poet. She's a published author, and you are going to be blessed.
Our scripture this morning will come from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, talking about Paul. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Without you alone, without you alone, I can make it. Without you, Lord, without you, Lord, without you, Lord, can make it, can make it. No, 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 without you, without you, Lord, without you, Lord. Put your hands together. Oh, no, 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 without you, Lord, can make it, can make it. No, 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 without you, without you, Lord, without you, Lord, no, 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 without you, Lord, can make it.
I can make it.
No, 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 without. Come on, help me. Without you, Lord, without you, Lord, no, no, without you, Lord, can make it. Can make it. No, 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 without you, Lord, without you, Lord, without you, Lord, no, 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 without you, Lord, can make it, can make it. No, 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 without you, Lord. Listen, church, there was a time I was in sin. Along came a Savior and took me in. He died on a cross for my sin. And that's why I love him. I love him, I love him until the end. Without you, Lord, without you, Lord, no, no, without you, Lord, can make it, can make it. No, 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 without you, Lord, without you, Lord, without you, Lord, no, 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 without you, Lord, can make it, can make it. No, 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 without you, Lord. Listen, church, there was a time I was in sin. Along came a Savior and took me in. He died on a cross for my sin. And that's why I love him. I love him. I love until the end. Without you, Lord. Without you, Lord. Does anybody love him? Without you, Lord. Can make it. No, 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 without you, Lord, without you, Lord, without you, Lord, no, no, without you, Lord, can make it without you, Lord. Without you, Lord, without you, Lord, no, no, without you, Lord, can't make it, no, 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 without you, Lord, without you, Lord, without you, Lord, no, 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 without you, Lord.
I can't make it.
No, 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 without you, Lord.
It's the first poem I wrote with my first book, and it's called God's Blanket of Love. When trouble seems to weigh you down, God's strength will always be around. When sickness seems to fill your soul, God's healing hands will take control. When grief of a loved one is too much to bear, God's blanket of love will comfort you with care. When the sins of the world try to change your faith, God's holy word will set things straight. When all else fails and fear is subdued, put on God's holy armor, for he always sees you through.
Amen.
Be blessed.
It is so good to know that God is always there. We just thank Sister Medman for just blessing us, using her gifts and talents to lift up God and what he's doing in all of our lives. Well, as we get into the subject matter of the day, the scriptures of the day, I am just so glad to be saved. If you're glad to be saved, can you just put some Moshe Kine hand claps on there or some hallelujahs wherever you're sitting at, just to be saved in Jesus. We're back on this topic, the renewal of our mind, how we learn. This will be our last message in this series, and the Lord's already dealing with my heart about some other things where we're going on next Sunday. But I just encourage you to continue to allow the Lord to examine you and to think about, you know, how is the Lord teaching me? What is he using in my life to grow me to be more like him? Well, let's go to our memory scripture that we have been quoting and reading it into our minds, that it gets down into our hearts, Romans 12:2. So I want you to read it aloud with me. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You got it. It's in your heart. Let's go to the portion of scripture that we're going to be dealing with today, back in Acts chapter 16. And I want you to focus in on that 34th verse with me, Acts 16:34. If you wouldn't have been with us the last few Sundays, we've been walking through this each scripture and just seeing how God is using Paul and Silas. Acts 16:34. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Then Acts 16:34 again. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for allowing us to be able to connect one with another. Lord, you've been so, so, so good. I just pray blessings upon those who are viewing, Lord, those who may be going through struggles in their lives, those who are on the verge of giving up. I pray that they receive hope that can only come from you. Now, Lord, I pray for those who don't know you, that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Yeah, you're the true teacher. So would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed and be like you? We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to speak from a subject title today, Rejoice. Rejoice. Doesn't that word make you feel good? On the chat, can you just put rejoice wherever you're sitting at? Just say rejoice. Defined in the Greek, and I wanted to bring this because so often we read this word within the Bible and we don't really think about all the ramifications, but it's defined as wild joy, ecstatic delight, exultation, exhilaration. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. So this rejoice, and even in that name, you can kind of feel it. It's kind of a bouncy feel that in the Lord, we truly can rejoice. When we embrace the renewal of our mind, we become contagious to others. Yes, we do. As we get close to the Lord, we become contagious. And I encourage you, if you're around somebody right now, I know it's going to be a little creepy. I just want you to smile at them. Just put a big smile and just look at them. See what happened. See what happened when you looked at them. That smile was contagious. It kind of jumped on them. And I know some of you like, well, I didn't smile back at them because that looked creepy. But you get what I'm saying. As we are really blessed of the Lord and we reach out to others, what we have can be in an overflow to bless and assist somebody else. The time frame, we're back in 50-52. Paul the Apostle and Silas have been used in wonderful ways. Paul the Apostle is on a second missionary journey, has accepted that Macedonia call. The Lord is doing amazing things, casting out demons. People are being delivered and set free. And now we are transitioning because Paul and Silas find themselves in a tight spot. They've been thrown into prison, and we're going to walk through just some points in review from last time. Remember, we talked about, but when God shows up, a mind that has not been renewed, and amazing grace. I want to read you just some transition scriptures because I want to keep it in context to get to where we're going today from Acts 16:27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Remember that prayer service that went on and singing. They took the prison to church. And then God shows up. He shakes the foundation so much that the doors pop open, the shackles come out. And that guard, he wakes up. He has this supernatural sleep, sleeps through the earthquake, wakes up, sees the doors open, shackles down. He just thinks everybody is running or has run. And he's getting ready to kill himself because he's held accountable for these prisoners that's there as a hardened soldier and prison keeper. He's supposed to make sure that they stay in line. And if they had escaped, then his life would have to be on line. And so Paul the Apostle goes, "Hold up. We are all here." Look at Acts 16:29. "Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas." Here's our first point. God can turn it around. Any hallelujahs out there, just clap your hands. God can turn it around. Notice this. This is a whole 180 turn here. Paul and Silas, there are the prisoners. And then in a moment, this earthquake comes. They are released, but they don't walk out. I find so many similarities when I think about Psalms 110. It is actually David gives this psalm talking about the victory that's in Christ. But I want us to think about here, Paul and Silas, the enemy is literally the jailer who is does not like these prisoners at all. He's supposed to be in charge, but now God turns it around. Psalms 110 talks about this, that first verse. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies into a footstool for you. The Lord will let your power reach out from Zion, and you will rule over your enemies. Your glorious power will be seen on the day you begin to rule. You will bear the sacred robes and shine like the morning sun in all your strength." God has turned this around. The jailer actually comes, bows down to them in a sense, and he's trembling because God is using them in an amazing way. God has a way of exalting his children. Any hallelujahs? He has a way of lifting up his children. The jailer has been turned from the one who was holding power to the one who was powerless. And Paul and Silas have been turned from the ones who were powerless to the ones that are holding power. I'm telling you, God can turn around. I just want to speak to you. Some of you just need to stop right now and need to give God praise, because when I said that, you're thinking back into your life where you were in a situation where you were powerless, but look at you now. Look at what the Lord has done. He has lifted you up on your job. He has lifted you up in your community. You were once one without authority, but God has given you authority. And I never want you to forget, if it had not been for the Lord on you, there ought to be some shouts of praise and thanking him. God, thank you for being on my side. Look at that Acts 16:29, that last part. And fell down, this jailer, trembling before Paul and Silas. We need to see the power of God in the lives of the saints. We really do. We need to see people that are in God's word, that are walking in authority, that these living epistles that we've been talking about, that have a renewed mind, because this world is in a state of darkness and a confusion, and people are looking for someone who is real, like you, that loves the Lord with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. We've got to make sure that we're sharing this renewal process that's happening within our hearts. While I was thinking about this message the other day, we were able to eat together as a family from time to time. And when we sit down and eat together, we pray and we quote a scripture. Whoever's there will quote a scripture or choose. And my mom was there and she chose a scripture, and it began to minister to my heart, kind of summing up what was going on within this particular scripture with Paul and Silas and this jailer falling down. Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Any amens out there? Though an army man camped against me, there were soldiers all around this place. My heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me. In this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Remember, they took it to church. God has met them right there in that prison. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of the tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I'm talking about rejoice. I am so glad that God can use us and turn situations around. And I'm encouraging you to walk in faith this season. I'm telling you, no matter what you're going through, you may not feel like praising him. You may not feel like rejoicing, having that overflow of joy, but you just reach out and say, Lord, you have been so, so, so good to me. Rejoice. Look at Acts 16:30. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I want to read that again, because I'm telling you, God has turned this thing around. Rejoice. And he brought them out and said, sirs, notice that respect. What must I do to be saved? Here's the point. Realization. Yes, realization. Just moments before, you know, this jailer, this one that's in charge, in control, he's not even thinking about salvation. He's not even thinking about that this is going to occur. But when God shows up, man, I'm telling you, we can rejoice. Now he understands where he is. The Lord spoke this to my heart. The first step in getting help is to recognize you need help. Can I read that again for you? The first step in getting help is to recognize you need help. Any amens out there? The other day, I was at a soda machine. Yes, I was at a soda machine, and I was just looking at the people go. It's amazing, those that need sodas and drinks. You may be like that. And I was looking at this soda machine, and this gentleman came, and he went to the soda machine, and he went up to the big button after he put his money in to the Sprite section. And he hit that button, and nothing came out. And so he hit it again. Nothing came out. And I was just kind of looking at him, you know. And then he began to say some words that I cannot quote here in this particular sermon message. But he was just vehement, and he walks off. He's upset. Well, the next day, I happened to be in the exact same place, and the exact gentleman showed up again. Please hear me right now. I'm talking about realization. And he goes to the same machine, goes to the same button, and he hits it. Guess what happened? Nothing comes out, and he's upset. Well, I'm looking on, and I just can't help. This is just one of those days. I began to talk to him, and really, it had to be the Lord. I said, well, if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you always got. He looked at me, and I was like, oh, Lord, I done stepped too far. He said, what did you say? And I said, if you always do what you always done, you're always going to get what you always got. See, at that moment, he had realization. He realized, man, I had already messed up yesterday. Why should I expect it to be different today? We've got to come to this point of realization. And this is where the jailer gets a realization that God is true. God is all powerful. He realizes that he can do nothing to save himself. He realizes that he did not have control of the prison. He thought he did, but he did not have control of that. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hear me to hear this question in your life. What shall I do or what must I do to be saved? Are you ready to answer that question when somebody comes to you? And I'm telling you, I believe that God is going to put us in more situations to answer that question. What must I do to be saved? And you've got to be ready to give your testimony of how God has turned things around. You've got to be willing to rejoice in the Lord and share that exhilaration with someone else. Are you ready to stand in the gap for other people, to intercede? That's what this whole series has been about, in renewing our mind to say, Lord, I want to grow in you. I want to grow not just for my own benefit, but I want to grow so others can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Are you ready for that? Timothy Wright, he's saying this, he's the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to see Jesus, you've got to live right. You must be saved from all of your sins. Marvel not. You must be born again. You must come in at the door. Yes, rejoice. Jesus is the way. Let me show you Acts 16:31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Can you put in the chat saved, S-A-V-E-D? That's a powerful word. You will be saved, you and your household. Now, this is critical. I'm telling you, some of you are being blessed right now. God wants to use us, not just on the outside of our houses, but most importantly, in our homes, in our relationships with our sons and daughters, our cousins and uncles and nieces and nephews. God wants our lives, again, to be that example. Here's the point. Jesus is the only door. Jesus is the only door. We're in a season and a time that people are just thinking, those that have become religious or spiritual, there are a lot of religious and spiritual people, but they're thinking, you know what? I can just get to heaven. I can just be the guy with God, whatever I want to be. I'm a good person. That is just not enough. John 10:7 lets us know the only way, and this is what we hold forth, to actually be in the presence of God is through Christ. Then Jesus said to them, again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. 10:8, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. He says it over and over again. We got to rejoice at that. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I'm telling you, that's good news. Rejoice to believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Well, we've got to recognize that we're sinners that are saved by grace. We need to recognize Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Any amens? All of us got issues. All of us got struggles, but I'm so glad for a wonderful Savior. To believe that Jesus is the only way is to know that without a Savior, you can't be saved. You're hopelessly dead within your sins. Ephesians 2:1 talks about this wonderful portion of Scripture, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, and when you once walked walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the other. We got to rejoice of what God has delivered us from. But notice, as we think of Paul and Silas and they're sharing this good news to this jailer, Ephesians 2:4, but God. And you put in the chat, but God, wherever you're sitting, maybe you done got up now, just say, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Can you put in the chat, alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Any grace people out there, I am gratefully gracious about what God has done in our lives. Ephesians 2:6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been, there it is, I told you, I'm gracious for God, grace, have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, in which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Rejoice! This is what the gift that Paul and Silas are being used to share right now with this jailer and his household. And so often we take for granted about what God has done in our lives, but we need to have a spirit of thankfulness, a spirit of celebration, to believe that Jesus is the only way, is to know that he's the only one that can renew our minds. Any hallelujah. He's the only one that can train us up to be like him. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, listen to this, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. This is what Paul and Silas are sharing with this jailer and his family and his household. They're giving the good news that Christ is for them, that Christ can deliver them, that Christ can set them free. All they got to do is believe and trust. Look at Acts 16:32. Rejoice. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. I love that summary of it. Here's the point. Speak the word. Yes, speak the word. All of those things we got to get in our heart that we can share it with someone else. You may not be able to give the address. You may not be able to say Romans chapter 8 or Ephesians chapter 2. But I'm telling you, God, and via his Holy Spirit inside of you, be able to share. You may say, you know what? I don't know it all. But let me share what happened in my life and how I gave my life to the Lord. Renewal by God enables us to truly speak God's word with power. I'm working you today. Can you just say power? Put it in the chat. Power. So many people can quote a scripture, but can they quote it with power? See, that power comes from the authority of God. God's word will not return void. And so once we get it into our heart, the Holy Spirit speaking through us, it's powerful. Let's look at the life of Jesus to understand more of speaking this word and the impact Paul and Silas were making on this household. Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, here it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm talking about rejoice. Speaking the word has authority. Speaking the word can change situations. The renewal of our mind really comes from the word of God getting on the inside of us. I've been telling folks over and over again to get in the word. No matter what your situation, if you got an addiction, get in the word. Your struggle, you got relationship issues, get in the word, because the more you get the word into your heart, the more transformation takes place. Then we're reminded of the blessedness. There are blessings that come out of getting in the word of God. Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him and whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Look at this, into this, Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring gladness glad tidings of good things. I'm talking about rejoice. Please understand, I'm not just the preacher, but you're the preacher also. For if you are a Christian, God has called us to proclaim God's word. And I'm telling you, you get excited about God's word, people will listen to you and they're going to want some of what you got simply because they can see the transformation that's happening in your life. I love this scripture that talks about the word of God being powerful. John writes this in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. There it is. And the word was with God, and the word was God too. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without anything, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. I'm telling you, the word is powerful. We need to rejoice. Speak the word. This is what Paul and Silas are living. They're living the word. They're speaking the word, and people are being changed. Look at Acts 16:33. Rejoice. And he took them, the jailer, the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. I'm telling you, what a difference just moments can make. God has moved in on hearts. Here's the point. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Now, I pray you might want to go back and just listen to the context of these whole scriptures we've gone through these few Sundays. But realize they're thrown in the prison. This jailer is in control, in charge. They've got soldiers that are around the prison to make sure everything is secure. This jailer is probably a soldier by his nature and the things that he was required to do. And so he was against Paul and Silas. He was against their thought pattern. But when God showed up, things have turned around, and now this hardened man has been transformed to humility. Does that remind you of Paul? Remember him on the Damascus Road? He was a hard man, and God knocked him down, and now he's on fire loving the Lord with his whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And now God has taken the enemy into the family of Christ. There ought to be some shouts of praise, because some of you are thinking about the things that you've done in your life, the struggles that you've had, the times that you were against God, but aren't you glad God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think? And some of you need to just jump up right now and say, I'm in the family. I didn't deserve to be in the family. I used to be running with the devil, but I'm so glad to tell you today that I am in the family of God. I'm telling you, look at this scripture even closely. It said, and immediately he and his family were baptized. Immediately, simply because now they have the testimony of Paul and Silas, what God has done in their life, but the jailer, his heart has been touched, and so as they see daddy has been touched, his demeanor has been changed. He's not the same man that left the other day going to a shift. He's totally different now. His demeanor has been changed, and so the wife sees that, and the kids see that, and they go, you know what, I want what daddy got, and the wife says, I want what my husband got. Are they any folks out there that want to get so excited, rejoice in the Lord so much, our mind is so renewed that now our family members are seeing that there is a change in us? There ought to be some shouts of praise out there to know that God can work their way. I've seen him work. I've seen him add to the body of Christ. I've seen him move. I've seen him move in my family. When people love the Lord with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, I'll use the word again, it becomes contagious. Now notice something. They immediately they accept Christ and they get baptized. Now, baptism does not save you. Please understand the scriptures are very clear in that, but it does give us some symbolism of understanding what has happened within our heart. Renewal of our mind and entering to the family of God helps us to understand so many things. Romans 6:1 gives us this semblance of a baptism, what it does on a spiritual side. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not, Paul says. How shall we who died to sin and live any longer in it? That's that jailer's like, I cannot live this way any longer. His household said, we can't live this way. We need Jesus. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So when we take a physical baptism, we're actually showing a spiritual reality of what's happened in our heart. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. I'm talking about rejoice. There have been so many that have come to me over these years of being a pastor, and they said, Pastor, I got baptized as a little kid, but I really wasn't saved. My mom and dad, they were trying to do the right thing. I went in the water and I came out, but I didn't understand the reality. And I tell them, I say, well, you need to be baptized again. You need to go in with the reality that now you are saved, delivered, and set free, with the reality that when I go under the water, I'm just testifying of what God has done in my life. I was a dead man. I was a dead woman walking, but I want to let you know that I have been resurrected with Christ and I'm walking in the power of the Lord, and I can rejoice. See, when you enter into the family, you can understand what E.A. Hoffman wrote in 1887. What a fellowship! What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Are there any folks going to rejoice today? Can you just put it in the chat? Rejoice. Say, rejoice, rejoice. A final scripture today, and I'll pull it together. Acts 16:34. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Final point, let's celebrate. Yes, let's celebrate. I'm telling you, I want to bring this home, and I'm going to just kind of surround it with love here. We got to celebrate more. We got to celebrate when people come into God's family. We've got to rejoice more and more that we are saved and delivered and set free. That's why every day should be a day of rejoicing. I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care if you're battling depression. If you are saved, you got something to praise him for. You got something to be thankful for. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, we say that so often, but I mean it with my whole heart, and all that he's done for me. Are there any witness out there? When you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, then your soul began to shout out hallelujah, because he's been so good. Jesus taught that when someone gets saved, man, we've gotta celebrate more. And even in the church family, we gotta lift them up and encourage them. Luke 15:4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, here it is, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. I'm talking about rejoice. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I'm talking about let's celebrate. I'm telling you, God is excited when souls come into the family and are delivered and set free. I say to you, that seventh verse, that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she was found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together. Here it is, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I'm telling you, we need to celebrate. I'm celebrating just thinking about Paul and Silas and the jailer and the household, what he's done. But are there any saints willing to celebrate what God has done in your life? How he saved family members, how he will save family members, how he's adding to the body of Christ. See, Jesus paid the price. And that's why I'm so glad for the cross of Calvary, because on that cross of Calvary, he had nails in his hands, nails in his feet. He carried our griefs and bore our pains. He cried out, it was finished. He gives up the ghost on that cross. They put him in a cold grave, but there ought to be some rejoicing in the place. He stayed there the first day. He stayed there the second day. But on that third day, he gets up with all power and all glory for us, so that we, even though we have our struggles in life, even though it seems like our society is falling and crumbling at the foundations, even though there are challenges from the north, south, east, and west, we can let people know that Jesus still saves. Are there any hallelujahs? Jesus still delivers. Jesus still sets free. And we can rejoice that others can rejoice in the fact that Christ is real. Christ is still bringing people to the understanding of him. He's renewing minds that we can live in a dark world and tell others except Jesus. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Let's rejoice, saints. We've been given this special gift. And God, via his Holy Spirit, is teaching us and guiding us, renewing our mind. Let's rejoice. Let's be an example to others. Because I believe, according to the scriptures, we have been left here to proclaim the good news, to preach the word, to share it with those that are around us by the way we live, living epistles, but also the things that we speak, that people can know that God saves, God delivers, and we can be so thankful for Jesus the Christ. Do you know he's coming back again? If you're listening and you don't know him, man, let today be your day. I've been seeing people cry out to the Lord. I have, and ask for God into their lives and submit to him. I've been seeing transformation, person after person. God is reviving. He's in a revival mode. I'm telling you, don't miss this opportunity. Right now, would you just ask him into your heart? Would you realize that there's no way? You keep hitting the button. Guess what? It's not coming out. It is not coming out. But let me tell you about a man from Galilee. Jesus Christ can change everything. He can turn it around. Just ask him into your heart right now. And I'm telling you, he will come and he will minister. For some, miracles come quickly. Others, it is a progressive, it's a process. And we're like babies, we're growing. And first the blade and then the fullness of that. This whole process happens in our life. But when we look back, oh, what a sweet, every day gets sweeter and sweeter than the day before. Man, I pray that you've accepted him, that you walk with us. And I encourage you, please, after we pray, get connected with a church family. Get baptized, that you can give that testimony of what God is doing in your life. Finally, for the saints, I just wonder, are there anyone that goes, you know, Pastor, I need to rejoice more. I realize that as my mind is being renewed, God wants me to share Jesus. Maybe it's somebody, a coworker, and they're around you. They really trust you, and you've kind of been quiet, but you realize they need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear your testimony, but you're ready. You're ready to rejoice and share Christ and his fullness. Man, I encourage you, and I want to pray with you to step up today. Man, send them a text. Say, man, let's go out for lunch or let's go out for dinner. I want to share Christ with you. God gives us these opportunities to speak into people's lives that they can grow and be saved and delivered and set free, and so that we can grow and become more like Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for this message. While you are an awesome God, when I see how you've turned this whole situation around, you've used Paul and Silas, and Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving that jailer, and not just him, but his whole household. Oh, the power of your word, the power of the gospel. Thank you for the good news. Jesus, thank you for interceding for us right now on the right hand of the Father. And I pray for your saints that we stand strong, that more souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. I pray for those who've accepted you, who have fallen at your feet, Lord, that today, oh, you will speak strongly to them. Lord, you will connect them with a fellowship that they can grow and become more like you. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. We give you praise for your wonderful plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have come here today to give God glory, all of the glory, all of the glory.